Murfreesboro without a fight, and the result was the Battle of Stones River, also called the Battle of Murfreesboro. The two armies were roughly equivalent in manpower, the Federals bringing just over 40,000 men to the fight, Bragg confronting them with 38,000. In a bloody clash that extended from the end of December through the first few days of January 1863, Bragg's army took the upper hand on the battlefield, but neither side had the manpower to crush the other. Since Rosecrans ultimately pulled his army away from the field, Bragg claimed that Stones River was a Southern victory. But the Confederates had merely held their ground at a cost of some 10,000 casualties. And even Bragg knew that the victory meant nothing if Rosecrans could reinforce his army and simply try again. The Federals had absorbed 13,000 casualties at Stones River, but Rosecrans was still operating under the same instructions from Washington: capture Chattanooga. Bragg could only watch and wait as reinforcements made the Federal army stronger. Rosecrans was far more cautious now and did not put his troops into motion again until the end of June. Bragg tried to gather reinforcements as well, with some success, but neither commander was anxious for a repeat of Stones River. Bragg blinked first, and as Rosecrans put his army once more on the march, Bragg felt he had no choice but to abandon Murfreesboro. The Confederate forces withdrew some 30 miles closer to Chattanooga, and Bragg anchored them around the small rail junction of Tullahoma, Tennessee. This time, Rosecrans relied more on maneuver than on direct confrontation. The Federal army divided into several strong columns, thus threatening Bragg's army from several possible points of attack. The strategy worked. Rather than risk throwing his army into another costly fight, Bragg withdrew again. This time, he would pull the Confederates back to the safety of the mountainous terrain and the protection of the wide Tennessee River at Chattanooga itself. Bragg's retreat handed a bloodless victory to the Federal army that Rosecrans had to appreciate, a retreat that was as costly to the Southern cause as the loss of so many men. By conceding that the Confederate army could not maintain control of the territory between Nashville and Chattanooga, Bragg essentially gave up a great swath of critical farmland that was enormously important as a breadbasket for Southern troops. In addition, the mountainous terrain closer to Chattanooga was rich in natural resources of a different kind, such as copper and other valuable minerals that supplied the South's war machine. The value of the railroads at Chattanooga had much to do with how these crops and raw materials from eastern Tennessee were distributed to Southern mills and factories. Despite the good ground that now protected Bragg's army, Rosecrans had learned something about effective strategy. He also had learned something about Braxton Bragg. Rather than attack the Confederates in their strong points at Chattanooga, Rosecrans relied once again on maneuver and deception. In mid-August 1863, the Union forces marched a strong column to the river a few miles north of the city, convincing Bragg that the Federals would make their crossing at that point, a logical plan to sweep down onto Chattanooga from that direction. In addition, Federal artillery began to shell the town, which would typically indicate that the main assault was soon to follow. Meanwhile, far below the town, the actual Federal crossing was taking place. Unlike Burnside at Fredericksburg, Rosecrans had been supplied with adequate numbers of pontoon bridges, and the Federal engineers made considerable use of rafts and floating platforms. By September 1st, with most of the Federal army establishing itself downstream on the Confederate side of the Tennessee River, Bragg finally realized he had been outmaneuvered. On September 7, 1863, Bragg ordered his army to abandon Chattanooga. Once more, Rosecrans had won a victory without forcing a major confrontation. The Federal army had every reason to feel that all was right with the world. With the fall of Vicksburg, the Mississippi River was fully under Federal control. The Battle of Gettysburg had virtually destroyed the offensive power of Lee's Army of Northern Virginia, and now a major rail center had fallen peacefully into Union hands. Rosecrans was justified in believing that fate was on his side, so he ordered his army to pursue Bragg's demoralized Confederates on their hasty retreat southward into Georgia. But Bragg was not hastily retreating.